The second reading is from Philippians 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, it had seemed like forever since I saw some of you people here the last time. No. It had seemed like forever. The multitudes of people were actually daring to think that at long, long last, the wait might finally be over. That was what one group was thinking. On the other hand, there were others who, if they were living today, might be referred to as the political class, who were doing everything they could think of to keep this possibility from coming to fruition. The first group, the hopeful group, looked at his power, his miracles, and thought that surely such mighty deeds aligned with their conception of what the Anointed One would be able to do. If he could cure leprosy with a word, heal the blind, give hearing to the deaf, if he could cast out demons, raise the dead, not once, not twice, but three times, then surely the hand of God was upon him. And if the hand of God was upon him, yes, this must surely be the Anointed One. Surely he must be the Messiah, the Mashiach. But the leaders sought every way of which they could think to discredit him, denounce him, and make it impossible for him to gather together the armed forces he would need. And so it was that on Palm Sunday, When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, much like King David would when returning victorious from war, the portion of the crowd that was hopeful, hopeful that Jesus was indeed God's appointed Messiah, they just couldn't help themselves. They burst forth with praise. Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Meanwhile, those who were seeking to thwart any attempt of Jesus to overthrow the occupying Roman forces came abruptly to Jesus right in the middle of this parade, if you will, with the urging to Jesus to tell these people to be quiet. And you remember what Jesus said to them. He said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Yes, Jesus knew that this was a God-ordained celebrative and grand entrance into Jerusalem. It was indeed a God-ordained visitation of God to His people. Only, it wasn't what either group thought it was. And probably most of you know, the Israelites for centuries had held the notion, really the belief, that when God's Messiah finally came, He would rally together a mighty force and not only drive their oppressors out of the land, but also lead Israel to prominence among all the nations. The masses longed for that. The political leaders of the country hoped it might never happen, at least not in their lives. And why? Because they had managed to garner for themselves a rather nice arrangement with the Romans. You see, the Romans' practice was to give the local leaders of a conquered people the chance to keep the people in line. And if they did, they were rewarded with some special privileges that ordinary citizenry didn't get. But as I mentioned a moment ago, they were all looking for the wrong kind of Messiah. And Jesus knew this. And it was because they were looking for the wrong kind of Messiah, and because they were preoccupied with their preferred vision of what the Messiah should be like, Jesus said something about this visitation that day. Luke writes, "As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" Luke starts this passage by telling us that Jesus wept over the city. Right in the middle of the parade, everyone's shouting praises to God, and Jesus weeps. Why? He wept because God loved His chosen people. And now He was coming, indeed, as the Messiah. But Jesus knew that the people were missing it. They missed the visitation of God, their long-awaited Messiah, because they were looking past the Messiah that God was sending in favor of the one they wanted. And as a result, Jesus here prophesies the outcome: the city, the temple, the people within her walls would be destroyed. And this came about in 70 AD when the Romans leveled Jerusalem. But Jesus did come for His people. He did come to set them free. Yes, His visitation to Jerusalem, where later that week He would be killed on a cross, would result in freedom, not just for the Jews who would hold faith in Him, but also to you and me and everyone in the world who believes that Jesus bore the punishment for their sins and conquered death for them too, bringing them the promise of eternal life in the glory of heaven. Praise His name! Or as we might say on Palm Sunday, Hosanna! So, what does all this have to do with us? Well, you know, I could respond and say it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. For a recounting and a remembering of His grand entrance into Jerusalem those nearly 2,000 years ago is worthy of our time and attention in and of itself. For it is a way of honoring Jesus for who He is and what He has done and what He did later in that week in Jerusalem. So even if it had no connection to us today at all, it would be worth spending time on. But, there is something about this that has great relevancy for us. Great relevancy for us. And it's this timeless truth of God. We need to take care that we don't miss His visitation to us. Let me repeat that. We need to take care that we don't miss His visitation to us. Do I mean that Jesus is going to ride up the driveway of the church sometime today on a donkey? No. But He has arrived. He is present with us right now. Through the presence of His Spirit. He will give us Himself in this Holy Supper in just a few minutes. So the truth is, don't miss His visitation. This time and place here, gathered together, is a holy time and place. This space that you and I currently occupy is holy ground because the Spirit of God is present. Tomorrow, the Spirit of God will be present when you rise from bed. Because His presence is with you and in you, tomorrow can be a visitation day as well. And so can the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. Today, we confirm 6 young people in their faith. Jesus has been drawing them to Himself, seeking to help them understand His love for them, His commitment to them. And He holds the hope that they will want to respond to His love for them all their lives. My prayer is that they will stand with boldness in just a couple of minutes. That they will stand with boldness and make their confession of faith in Jesus and their promise to remain faithful to their Savior and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from Jesus. And the truth is, God is eager to keep His promise from Scripture to each one of you to stick closer to you than a brother. He will guide you. He will empower you. He will show you your sins, and He will help you rejoice in the forgiveness that follows your repentance. And the same is true for all of us who believe in Jesus. This is why it saddens me, and I'm sure even more so saddens God, that so many people simply, blithely ignore God's love and push to the side His care for them and His offer of forgiveness and eternal life and help each and every day of earthly life. My friends, don't miss the everyday visitation of God. Don't miss it. It is real. It is true. It is important. And it yields blessings and aid far beyond our ability to comprehend. Yes, my friends, look for it. Look for it. Expect His visitation. Every day. And in response, give Him your praise, your thanks, and your own Hosanna. Amen? Amen.